This week on The Ride with Russell, I'm sitting here talking with Amwar, and we're just discussing the new rule changes in the NFL. How far is too far, and where is the NFL headed with these rule changes? Do you even think that the rules are changing for the better or for the worse? Ninth grade was when I first played organized football. And she let me go out because it was at this point, I was like, Mom, I'm begging. The coaches are like, hey, this big guy, you got to let him come out and play. And she watched me do a tackling drill. And my whole mindset was, I'm going to run this dude over. I'm not going to try to avoid him. I'm not going to try to. I want all the smoke. Like, bring it. Let's go.
Yeah.
And we hit each other. And it was like, boom. And I was like, oh, my God. But I loved it. Like, that was a passion, and that was part of accepting what comes with it. Like, if you're not comfortable with that kind of physicality, if you're not comfortable being able to be the hammer or the nail, then it's not for you. But I knew within the first two practices, like, yo, this is for me. But then funny, the coach tried to put me at tight end. And I was like, okay, cool. So I run a little route across the middle, a little 8-yard route. I sit down, turn around, and I catch the ball, and I turn. Linebacker hits.
That's scary.
Boom. Yeah, and I'm laying on the ground, and I'm like rolling around. And I realized then I'd rather do the hit than get hit. right. Like, I mean, it was levels to this. I didn't like being hunted.
I like to be the hunter.
I like being the hunter. And I want to take your head off, which, you know, unfortunately – the game is moving away from that now. And
I mean, it comes from such a violent history and a violent past, and at its core, football is violence, right? Yeah. And that's the attractiveness of it.
Absolutely.
It kind of feeds into us as like this primal nature we have in us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always look at football and I go, well, isn't this the natural progression of like Colosseum gladiators?
It is. It's without slicing heads off.
We still get a taste of it, but no one dies.
Right, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
But in our heads, we wish we could kill them on the field. Like,
you want to hit somebody hard enough. You don't want to kill them, but you want to inflict a little pain on them.
Yeah, so they're deeply connected. That's where it came from, is the Colosseum, right? Yeah. That's what football is. But now we're at this point where too many people have experienced. I mean, the CTE discussion is everywhere. Yeah.
I mean, it's very real. I mean, I know guys. I mean, I know I have, I see things with me sometimes where I walk in a room and I'm like, dude, what was I coming
really?
In here? Oh, yeah. It's very real. I mean, when you get hit in the head and you get concussions, there's going to be some after effects. There's going to be things that down the road are starting to affect you. There are times where, you know, I'm looking and just doing simple things and I'm like, oh, my God, like, why is this? Oh, yeah, it's this answer. Yeah. It takes you a little longer, and that comes with age, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, that's obviously sped up with all the head injuries that you've had. I mean, the trauma that you've taken. But you almost know that, and I do like that they are trying to limit that, but it's starting to get to a point to where it's not fun, especially for a defensive guy. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're an offensive guy and you know, as a fan, you're watching the game and you want to see scoring, that's great. But as a defensive guy, you're just like, what do I do, man? If I hit you too high, I'm in trouble. If I hit you too low, I'm in trouble. This is your area to hit now. And now if a guy gets low, now how do I do that? Now if you run by me, I can't grab you anymore and do the hip drop that has now become illegal. And it's like, you're just tying defense's hand. It's like, you just want to see scoring now. You want to see 72-74. Like, it's almost like, just take the defense out and go to 7-on-7. Like, I mean, that's what it seems like sometimes. Like, it's so, just like.
Tell me more about the hip drop tackle, because that's the new rule, right?
Yeah.
Now, I imagine somebody like you never had to rely on a tackle like that.
No, because the bad thing is, like,
you're getting dragged by somebody.
But it happens. You got these backs, they hit the hole. And when I played, you had the Jerome Bettises. You had these big backs who were going to move the pile, and they're going to make everybody move. So you grab a guy, and you have to use your weight to pull him back to keep him from gaining yards.
What else are you going to do?
Let him go. And that's what they seem like they're doing now. It's like, well, if you tackle him from behind, you got to, like, grab him and pick him up off his feet, then we'll blow the whistle. But how do you make that tackle? If I'm coming from behind a guy, if I hit him, I'm going to knock him forward for another 5 or 6 yards. I don't want to do that. I'm trying to limit the yards that you get, not increase them.
So as a defensive player, do you think that they're not thinking about the defense, not just in what they're able to do, but on a safety level. Like, now what I think about, if I can't do the hip drop tackle and I've wrapped somebody up and they're kind of dragging me and I'm trying to bring them down, now isn't the defensive player now in a risky spot? Trying to hold on, and they now can't do the hip drop tackle.
You can't do anything. Like, I don't. What's bothered me is that you keep making all these rules, but then you say this is what you can't do, but then you're not telling me what I can do.
What can you do?
Well, I can't do this anymore. So how do I make this tackle if I grab a guy from behind?
Right.
You know, they just tell you what you can't do, and then they'll say figure it out from there.
Yeah, there's never been like a new rule. Like, here's a new thing we can do.
Here's a new thing that we can do to take the place of this old thing.
No, it's like just stripping away things.
Yeah, just stripping everything away, and it's just like every rule change every year is just an opportunity for the offense to get better. Mm-hmm. Every rule to me is made so that the offense can score more points. They can make these big plays. They can have 500 yards passing. It's just like you're giving these guys all this money, so now you've got to figure out a way to make it back.
So it's like the rules are not necessarily to better the game. They're trying to better the product.
Oh, absolutely. To make more money.
Yeah, because we've seen this in basketball too with the defensive changes they made there. Mm-hmm. They want more of Steph Curry.
Yeah, they want more scoring. Yeah.
These high flying balls. They want more passes. They want more dynamic plays. So they're changing the product of the game, but at the core, they're changing the game itself.
They are. And I'm always speaking from a defensive minded side of the ball because that's what I've done my entire career. And that's all I see is these rules affecting defenses. There's never a rule because, I mean, the chop block is still legal. Right. If a running back, if I break through as a defensive lineman and I'm coming up against a 220-pound running back and I'm 300 pounds, he can go low and take my legs out.
That's
still perfectly legal.
That case, I feel like that was banned when I was in rec league.
Well, little league, but in the like, pros, you see running backs cut guys. You see offensive linemen do it. It's just like, dude, you're a 300-pounder like I am. Like,
that's too much.
I got to be careful what I almost said something there. But you have, you need to stand up and be a man. Like, block me. Like, I'm good. The play is going this way. The linemen are moving like this, so I'm going with you. And all of a sudden, a backside guy cuts me. I mean, that's what Denver Broncos were known for with Davis back in the day. They would get you running one way and just start cutting you. And then they would just find holes. And it's like, if you're talking about making the game safer, okay, well, then let's look at it from a total game.
A holistic approach.
Yeah, stop doing it for one side of the ball. You can still cut me as a defensive lineman. If I get through, you can cut me. I mean, you get high-low blocks all the time. I mean, if a guy, I think, and I'm just speaking from when I played, a high-low had to be the offensive lineman had to be engaged with you, and then the other guy came and cut you. But if that same lineman was trying to get through to the linebacker and I'm holding on to him and I get cut, that's not a penalty.
Okay.
And it's
there's little
nuances, and it's like, well, you don't do that for the defense when it comes to offense. You're like, we're not doing this anymore. They don't care.
Do you feel like it's reactionary? Do you think that they have a real strategy towards changing the game? Is this like the first step in a series of changes that they're trying to
do? What would you change it to? Because like we were just talking about, the core of what the game is built on violence.
Right.
And as a player, you accept that going into the game. You know I could be hurt. I've had injuries. I tore my pec tendon. I've had like knee surgeries. And I never once was like, oh, it's all your fault. You did this on purpose. It's part of the game.
Right.
I know I'm going to get hurt at some point in my career. It's going to happen. But when you're constantly telling the defense, play with one arm behind your back, play with another arm behind your back, now you can't do this, now you can't do that, and it's like, what's going on here, man? I know I could get hurt. I appreciate them looking out for the head injuries. You know, you don't want to see guys launching and taking people's heads off, but
sometimes you kind of do, though.
Sometimes it is what it is. I think as a fan, you want to see that. But as a player, I do appreciate the fact that you are trying to minimize that.
Yeah.
But there is a certain, at the core value of what it is, it's a physical, violent
game. It's an understanding. And if you're not interested in the violent aspect, then this isn't the sport for
you. Then tune out. Right. Go play.
Go watch something else. I'm not going to complain about the violence in boxing.
No.
Or any fighting or combat sport. Mm-hmm. Or even on some level, I'm not going to complain about the violence in hockey, where they actually... Part of the game is be violent.
Yeah. Like, that's
You should draw blood is what hockey asks of you when they get into those fights.
Yeah.
So why is that level of scrutiny over the violence only on football. You have to ask.
Yeah, yeah. Why is it? I think it because of the brain injuries. I think that's what it was in the very beginning. It was like, oh my God, how do we make it safer? How do we make it safer? And to a certain extent, you have to be able to say, okay, certain hits we got to take out of the game. We recognize that wide receiver's running down the field. He's looking back for the ball, doesn't see the safety coming. Okay, I get that. But you're inside that, for lack of a better word, that kill zone of 5 yards, 5 yards. I mean, hey, you're going to get hit. You're going to get hit from the side. You're going to get hit head up. I mean, you got big guys coming off of blocks trying to make a tackle. So things happen in there, and I think – not that you need to let it go, but it's part of the game. It's like I'm inflicting my will on you. Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse as a football player for that offensive lineman to line up in front of me and move me against my will. To say, I want the ball to be ran right here and there's nothing you can do about it. We're going to move you up out of here. that's the basis of what football is. I'm going to hit you and I'm going to inflict my will on you to make you want to quit.
Yeah. You're malleable. I can manipulate your entire being.
Yeah.
To put points on the board.
Exactly. And it's how do you minimize that? I mean, the more physical I am, the better that is.
Well, also, it's just like, how are you just content with that being in the game? And it feels like with these rule changes, someone upstairs isn't content with that. They're not at peace with, hey, someone's going to be hurt at the end of this game, and that's a part of –
The reason I say
you're not in the league no more.
I'm not in the league anymore. Yeah. I know. I still, you know, it's like a knee jerk reaction, but I don't think these owners care as much as people think they do.
I
don't think it's about player safety because
it's politics.
If it was about player safety, when you go and take these tests, and you know, after football, you have to prove after playing 9 years of football, after playing 9 years as a running back or linebacker, a position where there's nothing but hitting, I have to prove to you that I'm hurt. I have to prove to you I have aches and pains. I have to prove to you that I'm a little slower cognitively than I used to be. Like, if they really cared, it wouldn't be so hard for these guys to get compensation when it's all over with. So at the end of the day, they don't really care like they want you to believe they do. You know, it's like you said, they want to sell a product. And by selling that product, I have to keep these people believing that we're making the game safer so they'll keep sending their kids out here.
Yeah, that's very political. Yeah. It's very political to say, hey, we're concerned about the injuries, but on the back end, we're not going to give the compensation to cover what happens.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that is a very political conversation.
And it happens all the time. I mean, you have guys that go through the NFL and they have all these different programs afterwards and they're like, oh, you have to take this test. You have to go. You have these neuropsych exams that have you doing things and you're sitting here looking at these tests like, this is an SAT. Like, what? You know, I played at a high-risk position. I'm a defensive lineman, offensive lineman, running back, linebacker. These are positions that constantly are banging. I probably get a concussion, mild concussions every game, but you've learned to deal with it. And then afterwards, I have to prove to a person sitting behind a desk with a click and a pen that I'm a little slower or that I get angry more than I used to, like things like that. And it's like, so when I see these rule changes, I'm like, you're just doing it for the fans because at the end of the day, if you really cared, where you'd be spending a lot more money is on his back end when the guys get out of the league and you know they have problems, you know they have issues. I mean, you talk about suicide rates, you talk about these guys who've committed suicide, and the only way that you can really know if somebody had trauma is after they're dead and you do an exam on their brain.
I feel like that's where I first saw the changes in the NFL as with Junior Seau. Yeah. I feel like he was the biggest one, and he was the – I don't know if he's still sort of the figurehead for CTE and the risks you take when they go unheard or undiagnosed. Yeah. But I remember when Junior Seau, you know, was very vocal about CTEs. And then when he took his life, I feel like that's when you really started to see the change in the NFL.
Yeah, but then, like I said, afterwards they make it, and it's not that there aren't things that are offered, but they make it so difficult to get to. It's almost like a military vet receiving the help they need after going through war.
I don't know why these are like the similar things you see. Like, we put you at risk, but we're not going to take care of you.
Right.
We put you at risk, but we're not going to take care of you. Yeah. Is that just an American thing? Is it like, you know, I don't know.
I guess it just comes down to money.
Yeah. You know, you got a small group of people that are making all this money and they don't want to give it up.
Right.
And if I have to cover all these former football players that are physically hurt, mentally hurt, that's a lot of money coming out of my pocket. Right. And at the end of the day, they want to keep that money in their pocket.
Profits.
Yeah.
Now, as a father, you know, as your son's now about to go into the league, are these concerns that you have to weigh in? Do you guys have conversations about, hey, yeah, when this happens, this is our strategy. Mm-hmm. Are we going to fight the NFL or the leagues or the NCAA or anything like that? Are we going to fight these for that compensation? Or are we going to be prepared and just hope that we can take care of it on our own?
No, no, you don't. What it is for me, and you know, when you ask me about with my kid, I know going in since he was little, he was kind of like me. He wanted to play football. I knew at an early age he played flag football, and he was out there tackling kids, like full on, no holds barred. He gets up off the ground, like looking at me like, you see that, Dad? And I'm like, yeah, that's a really good job, son, but you got to pull the flag. He never, the concept of pulling the flag just did not register with him. It just, he didn't understand it because his whole life was around football players. So he's
how long did he play flag football?
He played about 2 years, and then I moved him to peewee football, and it was like a fish to water. But for me, I know a lot of the pitfalls, and I know a lot of the problems, and I know areas where this is where you're going to trip up the most. So yeah, me being able to, being there to guide him through these things, it helps a lot more. I know physically you're going to get hurt. I know you're going to get a concussion. But these are the things that I didn't know that I should have been doing when I was playing. I should have been taking notes. I should have been more proactive with the doctors about getting these things registered, knowing that, hey, I came to you for these things. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, I'm just going to play through it. I'm tough. I'm first-generation football player. I got to make it for everybody. Whereas he doesn't have that same pressure where he can say, you know what, I have a concussion. I'm going to sit out. I remember his freshman year in high school, he, I forgot, I think it was Perry. He played against Perry, went and made a tackle, and he hit the kid, and he slid, and his neck hit the ground, and he kind of had like a, I don't know, contusion, like a little sprain.
Like a contusion, yeah. I try to seize every opportunity I can say contusion.
That's the word of the day.
Contusion.
And I remember him just like holding his neck, and I came down there, and I talked to him, and I'm like, dude, what's wrong? Are you okay? You know, and I was just going.
That was a bit scary.
It was. I mean, anytime you see somebody, but for me, I know the worst thing that I could see is no movement. If I see him moving, ooh, I'm okay.
Yeah, right.
Like, if I see you moving around and rolling around in pain, cool, you're not paralyzed. I know that sounds crazy.
We check the first box.
But check the first box is all his extremities are working. Right. He's moving. So I was like, okay, cool. I can go down here and talk to him. And I remember just kind of going into the next week. It was the Chandler game, which is a big game for Hamilton, Chandler rivalry.
Big rivalry?
Yeah, huge rivalry.
Okay.
Even in ninth grade, they still, it's a huge rivalry. They start learning at an early age that you hate each other.
And were they the type of school that like went to each other's school and did like pranks or stole the mascot? No. And,
you know, it's crazy because it was more of a rivalry for the fans and less for the kids, because a lot of these kids grew up together. And I just remember it was the Chandler game coming up. And I talked to him and I said, man, you hurt your neck. I said, there's no need to be playing around with your neck. I said, you've got 3 years of football left. Like, as a father, I'm giving him this advice because I know what coaches are going to say. I know coaches are going to make you feel like, man, we got a big game coming up and we'll rest you and give you all the rest you need, but we need you to play in this game. And I just remember being like, man, God, please don't let this boy play. Like, I left it up to him, and he would come home. I'd be like, how was practice? He's like, yeah, you know, every day they keep asking me, you know, hey, you okay? You okay? You okay? And I'm like, man, I said, Deuce, you don't need to play. Like, but there was nothing. I know how it is as a player for somebody to tell you you can't do it. And I wanted to leave that up to him, and I wanted him to make that decision. And he sat out that game, and let's just say he got a lot of dirty looks from his coaches.
Really?
Little comments and things like that, but I was proud that he made the decision to take care of his body. And those were things that I didn't know at that age, college, and even in a professional league, because you're so afraid of losing your spot, losing money. These are all the things that
tons of pressure.
And it's like, dude, you don't have to deal with this. You don't have to deal with it alone. So that was his first real introduction into how dirty this game can be. And he just, I remember he was standing on the sideline, and probably the first quarter, I don't even think he was really with the team.
You could see him like off.
I could see him off by himself, Jeez. But it's like, dude, you have to protect yourself. That's one of the biggest things that players have to learn is you have to protect yourself. I know it feels like crap when everybody's like, you need to play. We need you this week. This is a big game. Mm-hmm. But what's more important is my longevity after football. And had he played, maybe he goes out there and nothing happens and he's perfectly fine. But you go out there and you do something and you shouldn't have been playing. And the first thing they're going to say is, well, why'd you play? Well, because you put all this undue stress on me all week, coach. That's why I went out there and played.
Yeah, you're the adult in this situation. Yeah. You should have helped guide me as a student athlete. Mm-hmm.
And to even piggyback off of that, his sophomore year when he was on JV, they were coming up to the Chandler game and the JV coach made the comment to him, well, not directly to him, but he knew it was at him. He goes, you know, we playing Chandler next week, and if anybody here is scared and doesn't want to play, let me know now.
What?
Dude, this was last year. He was a freshman. He hurt his neck. And so that really pissed him off, and he went out there. So those are the kind of things that, you know, they talk about making the game safer, but at the end of the day, it's not about that.
Yeah, because as a coach, his concerns wasn't Deuce's safety.
No, it's about winning the game, about beating Chandler.
And if anything happened in a negative capacity, what can the coach can do this?
Yeah, completely guilt-free. Like
Now plug and play another student in here.
Yeah, I can bring somebody else in.
Let me get another body in here, and Deuce is gone, and whatever. And the whole time you've sort of created this immense pressure for this young boy.
Yeah, absolutely.
A young boy who's still growing into a man, still growing into the person he could be, and you've put this sort of life-altering pressure on his shoulders.
And imagine not having someone there who had been through it to understand, like, hey, this is what's going to come at you. Here's how you need to handle it.
Yeah.
So as much as he felt bad for not being there, he knew he was doing best for himself and his body and his longevity in the sport. And, I mean, even when he was at Tucson, there were times where he got hurt, and I think he rolled his ankle, and I'm like, dude, you don't need to play. You don't need to play. And he went out there, and he played, and he was fine, and, you know, everything worked out great. But those are the risk rewards that, you know, these athletes go through all the time. But you know that, and you accept that. And you're like, I would rather die on top of my white horse than to sit back here in the rear of the pack. It's a terrible mindset to have, but you would rather be out there with your guys limping and barely making it just to say I was there and I fought with them. It's like that gladiator mentality.
Yeah.
Warrior spirit. And to keep making these rules that are restricting these defensive guys who want to go out there and they want to perform at that high level. Yeah. They want to give the fans what they want. I mean, just like they love watching it, we love performing.
Yeah.
But now you're telling me that, well, I can't do this. You know, you can't do that. Don't do this. That's too physical. You know, it's our guys are getting hurt on the offensive side of the ball, but yet you don't care if we get hurt on the defensive side of the ball. We're expendable on that side. You know, we don't make $350 million like these quarterbacks. Right. We don't get $200 million like receivers. Right. So,
but you also take away their ability to make big plays and get on a top 10 ESPN countdown or the big plays of the week. Now, once you start taking away what they can do on the field, it's like, well, how do we shine? How do we shine? How do we make a big play now?
You don't. And you hesitate. Because you hesitate. Get there and you're like, what do I do? Well, that's all you need, especially in the NFL. I mean, that's the amount of time that you have to make a decision. So it's about preparation, how you prepared, and using your instincts. So now if I got to think too much instead of just reacting.
Relying on your football IQ and your instincts.
Yeah, I'm going to fail.
Where do you see this? Do you see this becoming sort of an asterisk for offensive players? When you see, now that we're going to go into the league and we're going to see somebody go and wrap up and they're not going to be able to make that hip drop tackle, they're going to just let go. What does that mean for that offensive player? What do you see?
You're going to see, I mean, people complain now, it's going to get worse as far as missed tackles, because now you got guys thinking like, can I do this? What can I do? And that, like I said, that moment of, well, he's gone now. Or you wrap him up, but you can't drop down because once you grab him, you're thinking like, oh, I'm going to take him down. Oh, I can't do that. And now he breaks loose, and now he goes for a touchdown. And now you got the keyboard tough guys. Oh,
padded stats.
And, yeah, it's just now it's going to get bad.
Now you're going to see wide receivers and running backs with way more break tackles, and they'll be like, those aren't really break tackles.
Yeah, you didn't break that tackle, but this guy grabs you, and it's like,
what do you want me to do? Just keep running along with him, holding him around his waist.
And embarrassing myself on the field.
Right, I'm going another 5 yards because I can't pull him down. And then he breaks loose or his buddy comes and hits me off. And now he breaks for a touchdown. So
that's too much. If you okay, I'm going to ask you a gotcha question, right?
A gotcha
question. Here's a gotcha one. You probably didn't think about it. If you could trade the hip drop tackle with a different rule, if they said, we'll take out the hip drop tackle rule, but you have to put in a different rule in its place, what would be your rule to
put
implement?
Put in a different rule? What do you mean?
Any rule, but you have to put it in. It could be offensive. It could be defensive. What change would you like to see in the
I'd
game?
Like to see no offensive lineman can't chop block defensive linemen.
There you go, right? Yeah. But you said that in the beginning.
Yeah, I think that right. Yeah, that would be my one rule that, I mean, and I'm not a DB, but I'm sure DBs would be like, I want you to allow us to be more physical or, you know, after 5 yards, you can't touch this guy anymore. I think they would want a longer opportunity to be physical. But from a defensive lineman standpoint, stop cut blocking me. Stand up and block me. You know, if I beat the guard and now I got a running back coming and taking my legs out, like that, my legs are just as valuable as Patrick Mahomes' legs.
Yes.
You know, why does he get protected and I can't?
That's crazy.
That would be my rule change, yeah.
Yeah, because they're not getting protected, but now you're protecting these offensive
players. Yeah, absolutely. Fantasy football. I blame fantasy football players.
It's the same risk, but there you get to see both sides of the game. How do you feel about the kickoff rule change?
Do we even understand it yet?
I mean, you were trying to explain it to me before we came here, and I was like, what?
It's like the kicker can still go from his normal spot, but now you take those 10 kickoff guys and you move them up to, I think it's the 40, and then you have 9 kickoff returns, so basically blockers that are about 10 yards away, and the ball is now kicked, and if it doesn't land in the landing zone, then they get the ball at the 40-yard line. So, I mean, like, you just think sitting here talking it out is, like, ridiculous.
It feels like everybody in NFL has to sit down and watch a training video the new kickoff rule.
They do. They give us that every year in training camp.
Really?
Yeah. They come in with a video, and they have referees, and they'll show you, okay, this was last year. You can't do this anymore. So they actually do give a training video. That's funny that you say that.
I didn't think.
No. Very much so. And so that's how they can, you know, hey, we showed you what not to do. Okay, you told me what not to do, but how am I supposed to make the tackle if I grab him like that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you figure it out. And while you're figuring out, we're going to flag you 15 yards. We're going to fine you hundreds of thousands of dollars every time you do it. You know, it's getting to the point to where, I mean, like I've seen on social media where these guys, you know, J.J. Watt was like, just pull out the flags at this point. Let's just go ahead and put the flags on and call it what it is. Yeah. And I hate that we even feel that way, but that's what it feels like football is headed towards, where it's like, dude, you're taking the physical nature of the game out of the game. You're taking what basically is the core value of this game, and you're saying, no, we're going to do away with that so that the offense can score points. You know, people don't want to see defensive games anymore. They don't want to see a 17-10 game.
That's what I grew up on.
That's me too. Defensive games.
I'm Baltimore Ravens fans.
Oh, well, you get defense.
Right.
Then.
We were defense, and when we went up against the Steelers, and I say we like I'm part
of
the
team. No, I get what you're saying, but Chad, you got a vested interest.
You know, I'm all the way over here. I'm like, oh, we. I remember those Ravens-Steelers game. We knew no one was going to score more than 10 points, but it would be a battle on the line. Mm-hmm. And you were there for it.
Yeah.
It was like that. It's almost like you're trying to take the rules are trying to take the game and make a pop version of the game. You know what I mean? If we were related to music, it's like all of it's pop. What about real rap?
Yeah,
what about
real
R&B?
Some real hardcore
what about hip-hop? Lyricism?
Yeah.
You want to take
just
it back?
Selling records.
Yeah, you guys just want to sell. I want to see that fight. I came for that product. Yeah. I enjoy that product. People still enjoy that product. Yeah. You might have heard the complaints about, oh, we wanted 5 touchdowns. It's like, but that's not this game. No. And that's what makes it special.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a defense, nowadays, I think if you can hold a team to under 20 points, 21 points, you're doing good. I mean, that's you're an amazing defense. That's an elite defense nowadays. And you're talking about that's an up from 17 or 10 points where you had the Baltimore Ravens who won on their defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, what was it, Trent Dilfer?
Trent Dilfer was the quarterback.
Yeah, they weren't putting up 40 points a game. They put up 21 points, and they knew the defense was going to hold them to 10 or 17.
It was the McAllisters, the Ray Lewis's. It was the people on the defensive end. Our secondary, I say our again.
No, that's okay. Yeah.
Our secondary really carried that.
It was. It's like even, and I think it's funny because this is coming from somebody, my wife, she hates like close games. She doesn't want to see that. Really? She wants to see a blowout so I know who's winning, so I can have some drinks, I can have a good time. Like me, I'm like into the game. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
I want to be like, every play matters. Yes. You know, I don't want to see somebody break for 20 yards. You know, you see these quarterbacks throwing the ball downfield, and it's like you can't get physical with them after 5 yards. So, like you said, it's like a pop album now.
It's a pop album.
You know, we went from Tupac and Biggie to
Drake.
Hey, you better be careful because there's a beef now. Drake and Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole, so don't choose sides.
I'm not choosing. You are.
But that's what it's become, though. Yeah. It's just like, and it's tough to watch. Now, if you grew up in that era and this is how football has always been for you, then you're not complaining. You don't understand what us old heads are talking right. about. But when you grew up in, you know, I grew up watching Mean Joe Green. And I remember that was the greatest thing in the world when I met him here as my coach, because I grew up with that steel curtain defense. And I remember when Mean Joe Green, and I'm going to draw a blank, when he was carrying the receiver off the field, it was like, that was so brutal, but it was just, that's why you loved it, because not everybody could do it. And now it just feels like they're making rules so that everybody can do it. No one special, right. And it just drives me crazy, man, because I'm a defensive guy and I see what I love so much is just being taken away, you know.
How has this rule change changed how Deuces approached the game at the NCAA level? Like, do you see that impacting those players as they get ready for the NFL and change how they approach it?
I think they grew up in it. I don't think they know any better.
Wow.
I just think it's, you know, me being his father, he does get a little bit of that old school vibe, that physicality, but because he is in the rules of, this is the world that I have to operate in, Dad. I hear you, and I know being physical is a part of the game, but there's a line that I can go up to now, and I have to stop. We can't cross that line anymore, or you're going to get thrown out. So for him, I don't think it bothers him as much, because since day one, these rules have kind of been around for him, you know, as little kids, and, you know, this is how you're going to play in high school and then being in college. So he's used to it now. Yeah. He understands it. Whereas me, if I had to play now, oh, I'd be broke. I mean, I would have no money, because, I mean, what I think is a good hit, he's like, no, you can't do that. It's like he compared, when I always talk about basketball, you know, we talk about Jordan yeah. and how they played. He's like, dude, that's football, Dad. He goes, his basketball is KD, LeBron, right. you know, Seth Curry. That's what he sees as basketball, whereas I'm more like, man, I remember when the Pistons and the yeah, Bulls, that was basketball. Remember. He goes, that was basketball.
People wear, they wear Jordans. They don't even really connect it to Michael Jordan anymore. They're just shoes.
It's just a brand, yeah.
It's a different game. It's a different game.
It's come a long ways. But I will say this, after all that bashing, I am a fan of the athleticism. Like, I really, really enjoy, especially defensive linemen, the way they move now and the different things that they can do. And these guys that are 6'5", 6'6", 260, running a 4'5", running 4'6", and they're coming around the edge. You don't have to hit the quarterback anymore. Now you just tip it out of his hand.
Yeah.
You know, you punch the ball out. So I do enjoy the athleticism, but there's that part of me that's like, it's something to be said when I hit you so hard that the next time you line up, you're looking like, where the hell's Russell? You know, I miss that part of it. And I think that, to me, is just a big factor in what football really is.
I think you're still kind of excited to see what it'll look like, too. I can see that in you. Like, because you're talking about these defensive ends and how big and capable they are. It's like, you think they'll figure it out.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. I do. I have faith that they will figure it out. I don't think it's on this, like, snowball that's going to be out of control. I think as fans, you're looking from the outside in and you're like, what the hell's going on? Oh my God, I can't believe this. But they're not going to, at the end of the day, they're not going to destroy such a great product.
Yeah. You can't. Yeah,
you can't.
It's America's game.
It is. And it's not the Cowboys either. I just had to throw that in.
Thanks for tuning in to The Route. Don't forget to subscribe and connect with us on socials for exclusive updates. We'll see you next week.